Discourse 21, September 12, 1932, Saint Germain. Invocation. O mighty presence, we give praise and thanks and rejoice in thy mighty radiant presence, that thou hast come forth to clothe America in thy mighty radiant presence, and shed thy splendor o'er humanity. We rejoice that the cycles of time have moved forward, and this has enabled thee to come forth from the secret chamber in the temple of light. Mighty One, in the majesty of thy splendor, peace, and power, look into the hearts of those who sincerely look to the light. Strengthen them. Give them courage. Enable them through thee, mighty God within, to hasten and come forth and be the messengers of the mighty God light. Speak to the hearts of the children of light. Strengthen them to stand and be sustained in thy great splendor. I bring you greetings from the great angelic being who has been caused to look upon this humble effort to give forth light, and who extends personal greetings to you all. The Discourse. With the entrance of each great cycle, there come certain presiding beings of great import. You will know this presence as a being of great majesty, power, and light, through whom, at the height of all civilizations, has come the power of precipitation of jewels of all kinds and of liquid gold. This presence represents the all-seeing eye to the earth. Your request to know more of the great beings has been granted. It was through the action of this great being, and one from the Jade Temple, whom you shall later know, that there was cause to come into form the Jade of Abor. Another such twin of the great Jade will appear in America. It will be publicly known of at a later period. This entirely depends upon humanity, how soon they will turn, and where, to the great light. Beloved children of the light, fix firmly in your minds, all of you, fix within your consciousness that the mighty presence of God in and about you is the only intelligence, presence, and power governing the universe. With this staunch, firm recognition and adherence to the great light, there is no height you may not reach, no great service you may not render through this great acknowledgement. It is your right to command and compel the outer to accept the full significance and magnificence of this great opportunity. You have reached a point where you can compel the outer obedience to the great light. And at this time, I say for the benefit of all students who will take their stand and determine to serve the great light to the fullest of their ability, that they will receive a mighty sustaining power, aside from their own effort, to hold themselves steady in the great light. It is so foolish and childish for anyone who is sincerely interested in serving the light to say that he cannot control his thought, feeling, and spoken word. For where the sincere effort is maintained, the greatest assistance is sure to be given. I congratulate you most sincerely in having drawn the radiance and attention that is now and will henceforth be continuously manifest to you. It is important to compel the feeling to accept the great truth of this, that it may not at any time waver and wonder how this majestic truth can be true. The accumulated good of centuries of effort is being stirred into activity in many sincere individuals who are determined to serve the light. The words "I can't" or "have not" are to be forever wiped out of the vocabulary of the earnest students of the light. When they once know the mighty living presence of God is the life energy flowing through their minds and bodies, they must know that there is no longer any excuse for the use of such words. These words are simply concoctions of the outer human self to try to justify itself when, by its own acts, it has shut the door of light to itself and its world. Having arrived at the full stature of manhood in Christ, we should be able to put away all childishness of doubts and fears, and leap into the arms of that majestic conquering presence in the life of every individual, and accept its full manifesting presence. The unwavering acceptance of the limitless presence and activity of God, manifest in your outer experience, is the miracle-working power and has long been waiting to pour forth its great abundance into your youth. All human doubts and fears are fast being consumed and eliminated, and that makes it possible for this great inner abundance to rush forth like a mighty stream, bearing in its embrace the fullness of the God presence into your youth and experience. Consciously give full power to this feeling with all the joy at your command. How true and wonderful it is now in my life and world. This is an illustration of what tremendous things can be done and what it means where one will make the sincere effort to maintain peace and harmony in the consciousness. If each of these individuals can and will feel the full import of this great truth, marvels can take place in their experience, and will take place with this full acceptance. This is not a wish to intrude anything upon the free will of the individual, but is a statement of facts and the eternal truth concerning these higher manifestations. When we find that there are those children of God who will accept, in confidence, small trusts, then in time they will find themselves recipients of great and mighty trusts. No one knows his or her strength until sacred trusts are given into his or her keeping. Liquid gold. Liquid gold is sometimes precipitated for its emanation in healing. It is very like quicksilver, only of gold, and its structure is very similar. As a rule, in contacting this denser vibratory action, it always contains a shade of jade green. In its higher activity, the green is hardly perceptible, and in this state it takes on a shade of light rose in place of the green. Whenever intense raising activity takes place, there is always this observation, yet rarely is the individual conscious of it. I trust you can, each of you, feel this wonderful radiation about you, filling you with this joyous feeling and adoration of that great light. Try to feel yourselves a great fountain of it, pouring forth all the time, knowing that there is but the one mighty intelligence, presence and power of God acting through your mind and body. I rejoice that I am free, forever free, from every limitation of the outer world. Use for pain in the head. This thing is nothing. Therefore there is nothing in me that can accept it. I know there is only the mighty presence of God acting in my mind and body. Therefore in God's activity there is no pain or disturbance. Many times, if you begin to contemplate a source, something causing a disturbance, it gives it power. Sometimes it is necessary to know, but now we must take the stand not to accept anything of the negative. Give it no attention, therefore no power. The attention sometimes gives a thing power that we are not aware of. Lest one fall into a mistaken attitude, if there seems any unusual activity at any time, take the consciousness, all of God's activity within my mind and body is perfectly natural and normal. This balances the outer and avoids the misinterpretation of that which is really a blessing into becoming a disturbance. Use this often. There is only God in action in my mind and body. If there is a wrong thought about an experience, you neutralize or requalify it, and thus you lose its blessing. In all of God's activity in the raising process, it is impossible for it to contain any disturbing element unless the outer mind misinterprets it and requalifies it as a disturbance. Remember, to avoid this, one should at all times, in feeling an unusual vibration within the mind or body, take this attitude about it. How beautiful and glorious this feeling is, for I know it is God's great presence at work within me. When you begin to consciously use this energy of God within you, you are qualifying it in some manner all the time. So it behooves the student to awaken to the fact that he cannot take anything for granted, for he is supposed to qualify whatever passes through the consciousness. This is why we suggested some time ago the use of a mighty truth: there is no personality, there is only God in action. At that time, we did not think it wise to give this explanation. Question by Mrs. Ballard. The idea conveyed by mythology that there were at one time on this earth any such beings as the Cyclops is a mistake, is it not? Saint Germain. At no time have there ever been beings with the Spirit of God within them, with but a single eye. Such an idea was a distorted view concerning the former state of those beings, who still retained the full function of the third eye, or inner sight, like the X-ray. The all-seeing eye is the right conception of this state. There was a time when those which are known today as the pineal gland and pituitary body were one. They were the all-seeing eye. The skull or brain structure, which was of a denser substance, was in no wise any obstruction to the use and activity of this inner eye that really looks in all directions. To the all-seeing eye, no form is an obstruction to the vision. At all times, the all-seeing eye has the form of an eye as you know it today. The greatly dimmed activity of that function, even today, causes you to sense a presence behind you, as well as ahead of you. At this previous time, as the soul drew into denser form, it required the activity of an arc, as it were, by which the two activities in conjunction stepped down the activity of this inner vision. This sparking broke the image of the vision, the same as an arc breaks up the current, and instead of a steady flow, it was in intermittent jumps. This causes the present intermittent activity. This became necessary as the outer form reached a certain density, not wise to explain at present. If there could be a continual flow or connection of light between the pituitary body and the pineal gland, we could see everywhere and through all things at all times. This is really the inner sight. This would be the same activity as when they were one, or in other words, unite them into their oneness again. When one can visualize the two as the all-seeing eye within, wonders might take place. The child with the X-ray eyes. In this case, the pulsation between the pineal gland and the pituitary body has become so frequent that the flow is almost continuous. In all forms where the power of the all-seeing eye is used, the shape of the human eye is retained as we have it today. In any thought of this, think of it always as the all-seeing eye, complete, in the top of the head, taking the place of the pineal gland and pituitary body, or as having these two organs within it. In this eye within is the perfect eternal sight of Almighty God. A mental picture of anything with this power back of it must be propelled into outer form because it is God power moving through it. This is how the images we see with our physical eyes are registered on the brain. Therefore, make your pictures within. Your eyes are the camera of the soul. The activity of the vision in the mind acts just the opposite of the activity of the eyes or physical sight. The secret of manifesting things into the world without is in using the spiritual power to take this picture. Then the great silence precipitates it into form through the visualized picture. Through the activity of visualizing, you print the form or picture upon the great silence, and the great silence, which is the greatest power in the universe, propels it into outer expression and experience. Now you can understand how impossible it is for a picture registered on the inner silence not to come forth. It is the business of the intellect and will to hold the picture steady until the impression is taken by the great silence. If it is not held steady, the result is the same as if you moved your camera while taking an outer picture in ordinary photography. This is the power of true precipitation. You do have all power within your consciousness to mold your mind and body, or any of its parts or attributes, into anything you wish. Meditate on this incessantly. Contemplate this matter of vision often enough to set it in mind, in action, and use it. This release of truth and conviction is tremendous. Never forget it. Use it more and more all the time. This is the inner power that knows its own and is waiting to do these things for you all the time. A tremendous power has been generated here today. This conviction you now have, you can use with great power. Warning. After I have given the explanation of the law, and you have received the inner power and conviction, do not discuss it, for you scatter the power which would accomplish the full manifestation. You have the vision, the power, and the ability to apply this. Now do it. The power of precipitation is one of the mightiest activities of this wonderful presence who is radiating to you today. You have been shown how precipitation through vision takes place. Use great presence. Completely and entirely reveal this activity of visualization and precipitation into physical form to me now. Teach me all about this, and see that I always use it to fulfill the divine plan, to the glory of God, and the blessing and service of all His creation. Benediction. Thou mighty presence, we leap forth to Thee in great devotion and recognition of Thy presence with us. We know, feel, and have the full conviction of Thy presence eternally with us, and that Thou wilt teach us the fullness of Thy activity manifest in form.